بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني في قولي. اللهم فاعلم ما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. أيضا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He chose us to be from those who could reflect on His book. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing. And we ask Allah that He enrich our lives, He rejuvenate us through the Quran. Today will be our final session about Surah Hud. And although it's our final session, the Surah has much more to give. If we had more time, we could explain even more behind it, because the messages of Allah ta'ala are unlimited. The same way Allah ta'ala's qualities are unlimited. So, mashallah, we'll just jump right into it, and I'll explain some final thoughts and things about the surah at the end, inshallah ta'ala. And I'm really grateful to everyone who's participated from the beginning. May Allah reward you and accept you. And I'm just really happy that you all went through this journey with me, mashallah. I hope we all have benefited, inshallah. So, the last ayah that we went over, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلٍ وَمَا رَبُّكَ لِيُهْلِكَ الْقُرَى بِظُلْمٍ وَأَهْلَهَا مُصْلِحُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He would not destroy a nation with any oppression unjustly while they are reformers, while they are people trying to create good in the world. So the goal of ours is that we try to create societies of good people, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised in the Quran that these societies will live on. If a person is able to create a good society, people who are trying to create a better world, try to create a change in the world, these societies will live on. And so it is a complete flip. If you're thinking about what we've been talking about the entire surah, we'll be hearing about destroyed nations, terrible nations, corrupt nations, all these things. Yet at the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala talks about a flip of the people. You know, He's telling us about how to be good people. Right? The entire surah, you've been hearing about miserable people, bad people, whatever. Right? And you know, and so at the end of the surah, you're getting this discussion about people who are trying their best to be as good as they can. Right, and so Allah tells us about these things. And if they are finally able to create that society, that civilization of good people, then the promise from Allah Ta'ala is He will not destroy them. Okay, and so it is a point of reflection for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is the idea that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to be the one to design that society of people that want change in the world, that want to create a better life for everyone. So that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, at his time, he was thinking about that area. You know, what could I do? In the deserts of Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ was already envisioning a place. Allah is giving him these subtle hints that it might not be Mecca, the city that will be able to accomplish this effort. It might be another area in which the Prophet ﷺ has to go to. So you'll find out throughout, when you study the Quran, you'll find these deep hints throughout the Quran to the Prophet ﷺ about him migrating, about him making hijrah from Mecca to Medina. So it's something to think about, and something for us as well. Is a point of reflection for all of us. The idea of that people have to become reformers, to become better people, to change the world. And instead of, see, because reforming and reformations have a very weird connotation when it comes to religions. When you hear about it in Christianity, it's like this ajib type of experience when you're listening, the Protestant Reformation and all these things. So as Muslims, a better word for islah might be renovation. Like one scholar said very beautifully, he says that we're not looking to demolish the building of Islam. We're looking to maybe move around the furniture a little bit, try to decorate it, try to beautify it, try to perfume it, try to adorn it. That's what renovation is, right? You take whatever structure is already there and you just move around things to beautify the area again. And similarly, that's what we're doing in Islam. I tell you, wallahi tallahi, there's nothing wrong with Islam. There's never been something wrong with Islam. Islam is this perfect religion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The weakness is in us. It's in ourselves. The way we practice it, the way we preach it, the way we live it. If we are able to live better, then we'll find that Islam will thrive and it will grow the natural way it's supposed to grow. But because we're not people who are truly living our lives for Islam, and we're not portraying the real Islam, we're very rude, we're very arrogant, etc., etc. Because of these things, Islam is not able to develop the way it's supposed to be in the world. And so another way of translating this, and just to make sure I cement this point in everyone's minds, is that another translation which I found, Imam Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala, also supported by Imam Baqai, rahimahullah ta'ala, and others, mashallah, they said, "Ma rabbuka liyuhika al-qura bi dhulmin." Allah would not destroy, your Lord will not destroy a nation through shirk while their people are reformers. The word dhulm in Arabic It's also used in the Quran for shirk. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim, right? That shirk is surely a tremendous oppression. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, your Lord would not destroy a nation through shirk, to the fact that they are associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the people are reformers. So what does this mean? Shirk is an egregious crime and is the root of many evils, right? We can all legitimately agree on this. When people do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they believe in all these other things besides Allah, there are a lot of evils that people can commit because they think there's no consequence to the crimes that they do. So that is something. And so this is, but in terms of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants is, or what Allah ta'ala is trying to get us to understand here, I think I put it here, right here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifa, right? Allah ta'ala's quality is Rahman and Rahim. Okay, I think I wrote it over here, I'm so sorry. Okay, maybe it was right there then, sorry about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, here's a slide, sorry about that. Allah ta'ala's kindness against his own rights. What is the shirk? It is to disrespect the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The right of Allah ta'ala is that he's worshipped as one. That is his right. Like you have rights as a human being, what is God's right? God's right is that he is almighty, he's all powerful, and you have to worship him. This is what Allah ta'ala created us. That's what all the creation does. They worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala's kindness though, so if you were disrespecting me, you took away my rights, I would be completely, in my right to take you to task, to put you to court, to punish you for the crime. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness, it's the fact that even though people in this world are doing shirk, are Christians, are Hindus, are atheists, whatever, Allah's kindness against his own rights is that he allows them to continue. Okay? And so what does this mean? It means that, and this is the point that I wanted to get from before, when people start abusing each other's rights, when people start to oppress one another in terms of their honor, they start to disrespect a person's honor, or speak bad about people, or kill people, or torture people, or cause corruption in the land. That's what happens, and that's the reason why the punishment will descend on them. It's because of the fact that they are evil people in terms of oppressing each other's rights. When they oppress the rights of human beings, that's when Allah Ta'ala comes down, and Allah Ta'ala's punishment comes down and takes these people out. When a society abuses the rights of the people, then they are liable for punishment. That's the reality here. And so this ayah is trying to tell us something very, very deep. And this is the point here. A country can continue to exist being a non-Muslim country, yet it must not oppress. They say in Arabic that they say that a dar, a community can exist with kufr, but it cannot exist with dhulm. It can exist with disbelief, but it cannot exist by wrongdoing. So a non-Muslim country, even though it might be completely against nothing of Islam whatsoever, but as long as they respect the people that reside there and they're helping the world, there will be a society which lives on. Similarly is the case for Muslims. This is my point I wanted to give everyone. Is this is the case for Muslims. That Muslims should not think that they are perfect because they took the Shahada. That I said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, Muhammad Abdul Rasulullah. All right, I'm a Muslim. Doesn't matter what I do in this life anymore. That's not the case. It's not enough. It would be the fact that if Muslims start to oppress and do wrong and commit crimes, Allah Ta'ala says, I will, now you'll be liable for the punishment like everyone else in this world. So this is the scare and the worry. That sometimes as Muslims, we just rock on our Shahada. I became a Muslim, la ilaha illallah, I'm fine, I don't have to worry about anything. How is that the case when the Quran is telling you about these destroyed nations? That the shirk was even the worst part about them. The worst part was that they started to abuse their prophets. So the curse of the prophets tried to slander the prophets. And this is what leads into the last part of the surah. This idea of making sure that Muslims recognize that they have to start practicing on their Islam. And this is why every surah in the Quran, it ends with this beautiful explosion, I feel like. It feels like at the end of a wonderful presentation or this beautiful play or, you're in the theater and you're seeing this amazing, amazing, thing in front of you, this poem being recited, or these people are acting in front of you and you're seeing this amazing thing. And at the end, you just want to stand up and clap. And that's the feeling at the end of a good bayan. It's like many people can't tell you that, what happened in the bayan, but they can tell you that the bayan was good. And just because of the fact that feeling was just amazing. And in the Quran, that's what happens at every single surah. I tell you, every single surah, I read the ending of it, and it just hits you so hard. And this is what happens in this part too. Allah Ta'ala, He starts off the end of the surah by saying, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ. Allah Ta'ala highlights the point That's not the case about people being just Muslims. If your Lord had willed, he would have made all the people a single community. All of them would have been Muslim. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ But they will still have differences. The Prophet ﷺ is being told that there must be effort on the people's character. If there's no effort done on their character, they're not made into good people. And if they're not made to people that don't oppress each other, what's going to happen is that the society of Muslims that you develop will be destroyed like everyone else. So Allah Ta'ala says, it's not the matter of the fact that I can make them all Muslim. Let them all be Muslims. But even then, they'll still have differences. They'll still have problems. They'll still have situations. And so this is the thing about every single person that needs to recognize from this ayah. There's another way of looking at it is that the creation, Allah Ta'ala said, I could have just made them all Muslims. They all would have submitted to me. Everything would have been fixed. And they never would have differed. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ But Allah Ta'ala says, but instead, I allow them to choose. The idea of choice, it is one of the most critical things that everyone must be allowed in life. That everyone has the right to choose. And we should never take away that person's right. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ Another way of looking at it is either the fact that Allah Ta'ala is saying that I gave them all choice and some of them can choose, some of them don't choose, whatever. Or the fact that if I made them all Muslims in one way, they would have still differed. And so we need to ask ourselves, you probably noticed the fact that people on the truth, Muslims themselves, they can't agree on everything. Muslims do not agree on everything. And you find that even though we're all Muslims, we still find that there are good Muslims and bad Muslims. It is not the case that people will just say, I took Shahada and that's it. I can sit down and I can relax. That's not the point here. Some will be good and some will be bad. Some will be good, some will be bad. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ Except for the ones whom Allah Ta'ala had bestowed His mercy upon. وَلِذَانِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ It's one of the most beautiful ayats in the Quran. Really, it's one of the most beautiful ayats. It says, except for those who Allah Ta'ala blessed mercy with. And for that reason, He created them. So you could hear this and you could tell yourself that I just heard Allah Ta'ala say that except for the ones Allah Ta'ala had mercy on. In other words, there will be people in life who will not differ, who will be good, who will agree, and they will be great people in life. And Allah Ta'ala says, that's the reason why I created them. That's the reason why I created them in this world, so I could have mercy on them. So I could show them my love. For that reason, Allah Ta'ala created us. So when people say Allah Ta'ala created us out of His mercy, you find the evidence in Ayah 119 of Surah Al-Hud. Allah Ta'ala said, I created them for the fact that I could show mercy upon them. And so this is one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is the fact that it returns to their creation. Allah Ta'ala said that I created them with a choice, that they can all choose what they want. وَلِذَٰلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ So they can make a choice. And I tell you, the most empowering thing in life is that no one shoves Islam down your throat. You become a person who willingly takes Islam. You practice Islam because you understood it. It made sense to you. It clicked with your soul. It clicks with your heart. And so you practice Islam because of that. When we start to rob people of choice, then people do not want to be Muslim. They'll pray because you told them to pray. But in reality, in their heart, they have nothing. And what's the point then? What's the point? You made them a hypocrite. That's even worse than what they had before. May Allah save us and protect us. But we should always be people that allow people to have choice because Allah Ta'ala said, that's why I created them. That's the reason why I created them. وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ And it all links to the next part. لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ And the word of your Lord is done. It is finished. I will surely fill Jahannam with jinns and human beings altogether. The word of your Lord is done. It's completed. Tammat. It's finished. Nothing more that can be said, Allah Ta'ala says. And so He makes this point that the creation will make their choices. Allah Ta'ala says they will make their choices. But some will choose the worst end and Jahannam will be filled by them. We ask Allah for protection from that. Allah Ta'ala says, I gave them the choice. But don't think the choice is going to lead them into a good end or a proper end. They either choose the right way or the bad way. Now it's up to you to decide. So Allah Ta'ala says, I gave you choice, but make the right decision, make the smart decision for your internal existence. Don't be someone who makes the wrong choice and finds themselves at the wrong end. Or the fact that if it's connected to the fact that Allah Ta'ala created us out of His mercy, and then at the end of Him saying, I created you out of my love, but I feel Jahannam, so don't get lazy, okay? And that's a beautiful way of telling someone that you want to remind them of the fact that Allah is unbelievably kind. But remember, you know, don't get too comfortable because you never know who starts off as a Muslim and who ends up as a kafir. You don't know who starts off as a kafir and ends up as a Muslim. Allah knows, so don't get lazy. Continue to work for the hereafter. Allah says, that's why I created mankind, to show them my mercy and to have a choice in life. Now you decide what you want in life. وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ And everything I've just told you. Allah Ta'ala says, Anzami, Allah saying, وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ Everything I just informed you about. From the stories of the and the episodes of the messengers. Everything we related to you. From the episodes of the messengers. وَمَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ It's all to strengthen your heart. I love this point. This is why I recite this. If you come to Salat al-Maghrib, I usually recite this part. Because I just love this part that Allah tells us that in the Quran, I've given you story after story, prophet after prophet, so that way your heart can become firm. Your fu'ad can become firm. Many of us who might know Arabic, we know the word for heart to be qalb. Fu'ad is a different type of word used for the word for used for heart. When it comes to qalb, qalb is usually used for something which flips, right? Qalaba means to flip. Fu'ad, when you use it to describe a heart, it describes the it's usually used for fu'dun or fire, right? Something which burns. So when Allah Ta'ala says, we want to make your heart firm, we want to make your emotional, your sensitive heart firm, that you feel a lot of emotions and you feel a lot of pain. When you read the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, I sent down these stories so you could calm down. Because you have a lot of sadness, you have a lot of anger, you have a lot of pain, you have a lot of hurt. Allah Ta'ala tells you that I'm telling you these stories because I want you to know that these are all just single moments in your life. This feeling of anger, this feeling of sadness, we have to look at the bigger picture. So what does Allah do? He sent us the stories of the prophets to show you the bigger picture. He shows you these prophets, that what they went through and what happens at their end. And so that way you and I never become in doubt or worried or nervous or sad or grieving because we're thinking we're on the wrong path. Allah Ta'ala said, I sent you story after story so that way your heart, your emotional heart can feel firm with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that everything will be fine at the end. It's all just a single moment. And Allah Ta'ala says, the ayah is not even done. Allah says, I sent you story after prophet after prophet, so that way your heart can confirm. And in these stories have come the truth about what life is about and what will happen. And a passionate, a forceful and a strong lesson, a strong reminder. So you can feel these words and you feel the emotions of every single ayah that comes down. You feel it. You understand it and you recognize it. جَاءَكَ فِي هَذِي الْحَقِّ The truth has come. مَوْعِظَةً A passionate lesson has come. وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ And a great reminder, an extraordinary reminder for those who believe. That you remember what's the goal. Sometimes what happens is life becomes so muddled, becomes so muddy out there. We don't know what's right. We don't know what's wrong. We see this person, we see these people, and we're thinking that these people are being oppressed. These people are shown wrong. What's going to happen to them? What's the reality of life? What's happening? Why do these people have so many followers on Twitter and Facebook and WhatsApp? Why do I find that this is happening and this is happening? And you start to become confused and worried. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you ever feel worried and you ever feel nervous, look back at the stories of the prophets and they will tell you who is on right and who is on wrong. It's a great reminder for those who believe. That you never forget what's the goal, you never forget what's the purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, I am sending these stories, I am presenting these stories to you so you don't cry anymore. You don't think anymore. You don't get worried anymore. You know for a fact what you're doing is right, no matter what people say. And you never wonder about this question of what's the purpose? Or why am I doing here? Or what is the fact, you know, like what is life about? It's all so that you can continue to remain focused. And that is that key word, that crucial word in Surah Uhud, the idea of focus, that we get so stuck in the day-to-day things. We get stuck on what am I going to eat today? What is the cereal going to be? Is it going to be Fruit Loops or Apple Jacks or whatever? Oh man, this person made fun of me. Oh, this person, they didn't come to my wedding. Or this thing that happened in the masjid, or this thing that happened, or these people are not eating Zabiha Halal. You get so focused on the moment and you forget about the bigger picture. Oh, this is happening in Israel and Palestine. May Allah give afiyah to our Palestinian brothers and sisters. Ameen. And grant them the nusra, the help from him, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And I feel pain, and I feel saddened, and I feel worried. But I don't worry about the end. Wallahi tallahi billahi, Allah Ta'ala knows. We don't worry about the end. Because we know the end is going to be with Allah. And if we could not get the justice fixed in this world, then the Day of Judgment will see such justice. We say, Ya Allah, that was enough. So stay focused. Don't lose that focus. You have to become a confident Muslim. And so once you're a confident Muslim, a person who has so much faith in themselves and faith in Allah, now you can go out and share this and tell this to everyone in the world. What are you supposed to say? وَقُلْ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ اَعْمَلُوا عَلَىٰ مَكَانَتِكُمْ إِنَّا عَامِلُونَ Allah says that you say to those who do not believe, to everyone who doesn't believe, You tell the entire world, everyone who believes and everyone who doesn't believe, you tell everyone, what do you say? I'malu ala makanatikum. Oh, brother and sister, do whatever you want on your status. Do whatever. Go ahead. Play with the world. Play with people's lives. Play with your wealth. Inna amilun. We are also doing. We are also practicing. We're also committed to our deen. We're so confident. You think you're so right to go and do these evils. I have more confidence on my Islam than you do on your evil. Some people, they do such sins in life, you wonder if they have any more shame left. So if they're shameless on their practice of their evils, you be shameless on your practice of Islam. You don't care what people say, what people look at, what people do. It doesn't matter, because why? اِعْمَلُوا عَلَى مَكَانَتِكُمْ إِنَّا عَامِلُونَ. You do whatever, I'll do whatever. وَانْتَظِرُوا إِنَّا مُنْتَظِرُونَ. A single ayah of three words. Such impact, such message. What does it say? Wait. We are also waiting. وَانْتَظِرُوا إِنَّا مُنْتَظِرُونَ. Everyone wants to see who's right at the end. Everyone wants to see who's right at the end. I also want to see who's right at the end. So let's just wait. I'm going to die one day. You're going to die one day. We're all going to be worm food. Qabr is coming. Day of Judgment is coming. Let's all wait. Maybe I'm wrong. Go ahead. Flip the coin. I'll wait. You wait. Allah Ta'ala says, tell everyone in the world that you will practice and continue to practice and never stop practicing. And if they're worried about the end and what's going to happen, I'll wait. You'll wait. We'll all wait. We're all waiting for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's judgment anyways. So Allah says, I'll be patient. I'll sit down. You sit down. Like all the prophets before you, alayhim as-salam, like Salih and Hud, alayhim as-salam, telling their people that what, you do whatever, you take care of whatever, like Shu'aib, alayhi as-salam, you tell them, you know, you do and I'll do. Let's see what's going to happen. Tell them the same exact thing. وَلِلَّهِ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You tell them that to Allah Ta'ala belongs the hiddenness, the secrets of the heavens and the earth. وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّ. And that the entire matter shall be returned to only Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّ. To him everything returns. فَاعْبُدْهُ. Worship him. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. Have trust in him. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِرٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And your Lord is never unaware. Never, ever unaware of what you do. Allah Ta'ala tells us at the end of the surah, to him belongs the secrets of the heavens and the earth. Everything returns to him. Worship him. Trust him. Don't be worried. Don't be nervous. Allah is completely aware of what you do. You tell everyone without fear about this message, that don't worry about this or that. If you think Allah doesn't see what you're doing, Allah sees everything. Allah knows and is aware. You will not escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will not escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the big announcement to the world. Allah that wants us to tell the world that no one is escaping from Allah. Everyone returns to Allah. Everything goes back to Allah. And to him you should worship and to him you should trust. And it's an announcement to us as well, that if everything goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, everything will go back to him. Every command, right? Everything he said to be, everything he said that will not be, you know, all the people that exist, all the animals and plants, all the world that exists is all a command of Allah. Allah said be, right? He commanded the world to exist and it existed. So Allah says every single matter, every single command will return back to me. And so if everything goes back to Allah, what are you afraid of? Oh, this person will say something bad about me. Oh, this person will say something. What are you worried about these people's tongues? On the Day of Judgment, Allah will take out their tongues in front of you. Their tongues will bear witness against them that I said this, this, and this about Shaquille or brother or whatever. Who even cares? At that moment, when the Day of Judgment comes, you absolutely have no care for anyone else anyways. These people don't care about you. Why do you care so much about them? So don't care. Everything goes back to Allah. What are you afraid of? You should only be concerned about yourself. So what is the job for all of us? What does the Surah Hud end with? The job is what? That you just keep practicing. After Ramadan, inside Ramadan, on the day of Eid, after Eid, you just keep practicing. You never stop practicing. And you never lose your connection to Allah. I got connected to Allah in Ramadan and I don't want to lose that for anything. One brother explained it to me beautifully. He said that the belief in Allah is like this beautiful flame in our hearts. And it's a candle. It's a very light, it's a delicate candle. Any wind could come and take out the flame. So you try your best to preserve this candle so that way you never lose that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I never want to lose my flame. That's why we're careful about what we eat. We're careful about what we watch. We're careful about who we speak with. And we're careful about what we listen to, because we're so scared of losing that connection. It could lose out in any way. So that's how you should be in this life. And you don't budge. And you should be stronger than this. Muslims should not be scared about speaking the truth or being who they are. And I find it such a tragedy in America where people come from so many diverse countries. And when everyone comes here, they get under this weird spell of America, and then they leave all their Islam. They trade their Islam for everything of this world. We should be stronger than this, my brothers and sisters in Islam. We should be stronger than this. You have such a beautiful message. You have the Quran. You have the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have the Kaaba. You have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are we so weak now? And we're so scared about what people will say or things that people will do against us. You should never be scared. If Allah is backing you, no matter who is against you in life, if Allah backs you, you're always going to come out on top. We should be stronger than this. And that's why the surah of Surah Hud, it is a surah of tawakkul. It is a surah of confidence. When people say this, say, I'm a proud Muslim brother. I always hear this and people get upset. It's like, don't say proud Muslim. Don't say proud Muslim. Okay, whatever. You know, he's trying to explain a point in his heart. When someone is proud, it means that they're happy for what they have. Instead of saying pride, okay, fine. No problem. Say, I'm a confident Muslim. Confidence, right? Confidence. You confide in someone. The idea, the root is that when a person has confidence is because they can confide. They take help in another person. They speak to someone in secret. And because they speak to someone else in secret, they find confidence in themselves. This is the root in terms of English, but where the word confidence comes from. This is exactly what tawakkul is. Is that when you confide in another, you trust in another, that's when you can become a confident individual. When people say, what are you in life? I say, I'm a confident Muslim. I'm unbelievably confident because I talk to Allah Ta'ala. Why wouldn't I be confident? Why wouldn't you be confident? After talking to God and you have a connection with Allah, how would you not be confident? It makes if someone had the, even to the number of like President Trump or something, you know, he's pre-president now, whatever, people still think like it's something big in life to have a connection to him, whatever, I don't care. The point is what? They find it, wow, look at me, I got the connections to the president or the prime minister or whatever. You have connections to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why aren't you the most confident person out there? Why can anyone ever like front in front of you? How can anyone ever speak against you after being such a confident individual in yourself? Because you talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the surah, if you're thinking, we talk to a lot of prophets, why is it called Surah Hud? Because Hud alayhi salam is that confident Nabi, you know, that subhanAllah, this amazing messenger, that when Ad came all against him, he said, do whatever you want, fight me, kill me, go ahead, slaughter me, try your best. He's just that unbelievably confident Nabi, Hud alayhi salam, that everyone needs to recognize that against the entire empire of Ad, he says, come against me, all of you together, don't wait a single moment, don't give me a declaration of war, fight me. I don't mind. Allah's behind me. That's confidence. You know, I ask Allah that we get a portion of that. And so that's how the surah ends. And I want to link you back to the way the surah begins. The last ayah tells us about how Allah Ta'ala knows about the unseen. Right? It told us, لِلَّهِ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَرَضِ. Allah Ta'ala knows about the unseen. And the first ayah explained the depth of the Quran. Because if you're talking about something which is so unseen for everyone, yet it's right in front of our eyes, it is the Quran. It's because if you remember, the first ayah talked about the extraordinary fortress, which is the Quran. Uḥkimat ayatu, and thumma fussilat. It's full of treasures. Allah Ta'ala says He explains it and He brings out treasure after treasure. But this is not the end of the Quran. There's no such thing as getting to the bottom of the Quran. You cannot get to the bottom of this ocean. So Allah Ta'ala says He knows the unseen, and there's so much unseen right in front of you, which is the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, I know the depth of this book. You don't know the depth of this book. Because Allah Ta'ala knows everything which is hidden. The last message of the surah is to worship Allah Ta'ala alone. فَعْبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّرْ عَلَيْهِ. To worship Allah and trust Him alone. And the first message of the surah was to worship Allah Ta'ala alone. أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Right? So this is the extraordinary connection between the last ayahs of the surah and the first ayahs of the surah. And we find that in the middle of the last ayah, وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّ. That all matters return to Him. Right? Beginning and end. The beginning of the last ayah was the fact that the secrets all are belong to Allah. And the end of the last ayah was the fact that you have to worship Him. Right? And those two parts are connected to the first ayah. And then the middle of the last ayah, right? The last part that's remaining is إِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّ. That everything returns to Him. The beginning and ends return to Him. SubhanAllah. You know? And so I just want to give you an idea about what we've been discussing, just to get an idea about what the surah talks about. We started off with the discussion about these fortified, perfected verses, which Allah Ta'ala says that it's an impenetrable fortress. No one can get into the ayats of the Quran, but Allah Ta'ala takes out portions and portions for us to show us in detail about what the Quran has. Thereafter, Allah talks about how the Nabi Muhammad is a warner, nothing more. And he has to come and tell everyone to worship Allah and make tawbah. Then Allah does transitions to the topic of people, that he created everything 6 days and he created us for his worship. And then Allah talks about the people that rejected this. And then it moves towards those people's temperament, that if you give them a blessing, they're happy. And if you don't give them a blessing, they become angry. And so he said, Allah explains about those people's temperaments who always change. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا, except those who are patient though. Those are the ones that they stay firm. No matter if Allah gives them or doesn't give them, they're happy with Allah. And then the eighth part in the surah was the fact that Nabi Muhammad felt a little bit of pain in his chest, right? About the fact that they were asking for these miracles. And he maybe, Allah said, maybe you want to leave this message that was given to you. Because they say, why don't you have any treasures? Why don't you have any angels, right? And thereafter, it moves to the miracle of the Quran and the proof through Musa alayhi salam's book, right? Then we find that there are even more topics. So then there are two groups Allah speaks about, the blind and the seeing. If they can find out the truth of the Quran, and then they become the ones who can see. If they're not people that want to accept the message, then they are those who are blind. Then Allah transitions to the stories of Nuh alayhi salam. It usually goes in this order. Nuh alayhi salam's call, his people's response, then Nuh alayhi salam building the ark, then Nuh alayhi salam's son. And then Allah tells us about these impossible things that the Prophet alayhi salam could not have known. Then Hud alayhi salam's call and his people's response, then the miracle of Hud alayhi salam. Thereafter, the destruction of Ad and the salvation of Hud alayhi salam's people, right? Then we move to the next part in detail about Salih alayhi salam's call and his people's response. Salih alayhi salam's miracle, the destruction of Thamud and the salvation of Salih alayhi salam. Then we see in the middle of all these stories is the fact that the angels meet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sarah alayhi salam. You know, by the way, the Quraysh were asking for the fact that they want to see angels. The story was a proof to them. They're saying that even if angels came down, they would come down as human beings. You wouldn't be able to see them, right? So this story is in the middle. And then Lut alayhi salam's story is beautifully transitioned into his difficult situation and his people. Thereafter, it goes into the destruction of the people of Lut alayhi salam. Then Shu'aib alayhi salam's call and his people's response. And find the destruction of Madian and the salvation of Shu'aib alayhi salam, right? And then it wraps up with Musa alayhi salam's sign and authority versus Fir'aun's power. Then we got that vivid description of the hereafter. People won't change their character, right? If you're listening, people won't change their character. Believers should stay firm and patient. It all connects back to the beginning. We all have to talk to people that, you know, they're all like fickle people. They're always changing about the way they view Allah. But in terms of who they are, they're very stubborn, right? Then the believers themselves should stay firm and patient. Then it says to seek forgiveness and tawbah. Exactly what the Prophet ﷺ told us in the beginning. Seek forgiveness and make tawbah. It's right back at the end. And the power of good people. Allah's creation of the people connects back to his creation of the world in 6 days in the beginning. And these stories are for you because the Prophet ﷺ is the warner. So Allah says that these stories are for you as a warner. And continue practicing. And finally ends with trusting in Allah. Okay. So in summary, there's about 36 or 37 different discussions in the surah. And in summary, if you want to put it all together, perfect messages delivered by Allah. The Prophet's message is one. People will not agree. The Prophet's messages were one. Then it talks about people who will agree. And then everything is known by Allah. So if you see that the first part, perfect messages delivered from Allah, and the fact that we don't know the depth of these messages is connected to the ending, which is everything is known by Allah. The Prophet's message is one. Connects to the fact that the Prophet's messages were one, right? And the fact that people won't agree with the Quran is talked about throughout Surah Hud. And at the end, Allah talks about people who do agree. So each part is connected to each other. Okay, and there's a lot more we could speak about it. But just extraordinary that all of this is happening with so many themes and so many different topics that are happening in the Surah, all in 123 verses, okay? What are we talking about in terms of the entire Quran? We're talking about 2% of the Quran. This entire surah, which I've done it in about 26 parts, an extraordinary trip from beginning to end, is about 2% of what the Quran has. There's another 98%, you know, of what is really in there, what is more to tell us, and more things to learn, and more things to discover, you know. And even then, you know, there are parts in this that we can go into more detail. And if you come back to the beginning of the surah and you read it again, you'll find even more. Because this is what this book is about. It is this never-ending ocean. That is why it's our miracle. That's why you never feel doubt about the fact that you are Muslim. How could you ever feel doubt after having this book? You know, and Allah to give us tawfiq and understanding. You know, an amazing, extraordinary, you know, journey from beginning to end. The last thing that we'll speak about is the question that we started off in the beginning with, is that the surah was a surah which made the hairs of the Prophet ﷺ turn gray. And we want to know why this was the case, why the Prophet's hairs turned gray. And many people in the beginning, they think that it must be a very terrifying surah. But I felt like, if you maybe felt a different experience, but I didn't really feel like this surah was very terrifying per se. I felt like it was very strong. It was very confident. It felt like a very, you know, it's a forceful surah. It makes you, it demands that you change, right? That's what the Quran is. It demands that you change. It's i'jaz, right? It forces you to feel that experience of changing. It's, I don't feel like it was the fact that the surah is terrifying. There wasn't a lot of the account of the judgment. Very, it wasn't even really, it didn't even talk about their punishments too much either. You know, I didn't feel like it was a terrifying surah. Rather, what I think is that it's probably, Allah Ta'ala knows best, but the Prophet ﷺ in the beginning was told that he's a warner. The job of a person who's warning is that you have to give the message to them, and then you let them do whatever they want with the message. That's the job of a warner, right? He has to let people decide what they want. And so because of the fact that he has to accept the consequences of their actions, this is what pains the Prophet ﷺ. Because the most important thing that we as Muslims have to remember is that Nabi Muhammad ﷺ is the Prophet of Mercy. So the fact that he has to accept the reality that people are not going to choose the right way, it pains him so much and it hurts his heart. And so when you read these stories of the Quran, you read any part of the Quran, always connect it back to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So that way you'll be guided in the right direction. And I ask Allah Ta'ala that he first and foremost give us that mercy for people, that love for people, that we also experience that sadness in our hearts that we're seeing people going off the path, and we cry for them and we make dua for them. We ask Allah for ourselves and our families and our children and our grandchildren in this beautiful month of Ramadan, Ya Rabbal Alameen, that you guide us, you connect us to you, Ya Allah. That way life becomes easy. Ya Allah, the life that is distant from you is a difficult life. Ya Allah, the life that is connected to you is an easy life. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, that he keep us all connected to him till the day that we meet him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that he makes our entire life a beautiful day, a happy day with Allah, and make us make the best day of our life the day that we meet Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And jazakumullah khairan to everyone in the beginning. I apologize for anything I've said which might have offended anyone. That wasn't my intention, of course. I was very happy again to have to share these parts with you. They are up on, if you're wondering, like, where can I listen, if you ever wanted to, I don't know if you ever want to, but they are up on somewhere on YouTube, all these parts. It's 26 parts of this surah. My cousin told me to put these up so that way you keep track of what you've been doing in life. You know, I was like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. MashaAllah, if you benefit, alhamdulillah, please, do share it, inshallah, ta'ala, if other people benefit, mashaAllah. May Allah grant khair and barakah for everyone, inshallah ta'ala. And I encourage you all, if you want to study more of the Quran, please come meet me, come talk to me. We can sit down, we can start classes and courses and lessons, inshallah ta'ala. That way you can get connected to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And please make dua for me. I ask humble duas that you forgive me for everything. If I ever made anything wrong to you, it's never been my intention, of course. Please make dua that Allah ta'ala continues to connect us to the Quran and allow us to become people that become true lovers of this book, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullah khairan. We'll see you on Eid, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.